get ready.
NBC didn't have to create rape allegations to keep from selling to Bill Cosby. That's like me saying I don't want to sell you my car, but then going around telling people you rob banks.
For real talk.
Hey man, I'm just gonna say it. If you don't think you sexist, ask yourself why you champion LeVar Ball but think Cardi B should go away.
All the time.
Not everybody's gonna like it, but don't ever, ever apologize for trying to be a better person.
Welcome to the Spann Report with your host, Mr. Spann.
Welcome to the Spann Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Spann. This is episode number 222 of The Reporter. Right now, we're rocking out to some old school Donnell Jones, man. Special girl. Rock out with your boy.
Check it out now.
So I found out that eBay can give me what I need. So I hook up with this chick we call her Beverly. Had a trunk-tight body, drove a Chrome 600 with them big wheels running. Man, this girl was on it. Type of chick to drop a platinum card for me, just to show this down ass nigga that her pocket's deep. And the sex was blazing and the brain was crazy. Lingerie type of lady, still that's not enough. You may think that I'm tripping, take a minute and just listen. It ain't all about sex, it's what's in your head.
Yes indeed, man. We are here on a Wednesday night as opposed to the Tuesday night that we were supposed to go on. Some real life shit happened, man. I was like getting ready to like, I was getting prepped, man. I was doing my whole little prep shit. Had all my articles and shit lined up. Had my music picked out and everything. Sits down, and I'll be goddamn if it wasn't flooding in my basement, man. Flooding in my basement. I go downstairs. My wife's down there. She's like, oh shit. And let me tell y'all something. Let me turn this off. I ain't one for I'm not one to like feel helpless, right? And it wasn't like a real major flood, right? It wasn't. We didn't lose any high dollar, possessions or anything. You know, we lost some things we probably maybe would have been throwing out anyway to some degree. Some of the stuff maybe not. I'm looking at this water come up out of this drainage in my basement, and I'm just like, man, what the fuck am I supposed to do? You know what I'm saying? I'm looking at that. And then, it's like flooding in this area isn't necessarily uncommon. We've seen it where like some of the surrounding streets in our neighborhood would be kind of flooded out, and we'd have to figure out a way to kind of get around it to get to the house. But, it wasn't even like flooded out on my street or nothing. Just water was just like kind of pumping up in my basement. And then on top of that, my sub pump, man, was actually, I really think the sub pump was the culprit, because every time that shit came on, the water was pumping up out of that drainage. And as soon as that damn thing cut off, the water would go back down. So I just unplugged the damn thing, and, you know, the water started kind of receding, so to speak. But, yeah, man, we had a whole lot of rain come through here, and it resulted in us flooding the basement, and that's why I couldn't do the show yesterday, man. I was pissed. And then on top of that, man, like, it was so bad, man. Like, one of the major freeways around the area was kind of shut down because it was flooded out. A lot of the streets around my block was, like, flooded out. I ended up, like, taking a risk, and I drove my car through some of that fucking water, man. And I was like, ah, shit, it stalled out on me last night. I mean, luckily for me, like, it started right back up, and I was able to kind of cross through. And, you know, I can remember, like, last time that shit happened, I saw somebody else do that, and I kind of laughed at them. But, like, yo, man, it was I was hot, man. And not only that, man, I sat up last night till about 3 o'clock in the morning, bro. And, like, just trying to make sure that basement doesn't flood any more than it had, you know, just, I was just out of it, man. So, yeah, man, that's part of the reason why you guys didn't get a show yesterday, but you're getting a show today because we still got a bunch of shit to talk about, right? But of course, before we do, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with us here at the Spirit Report Podcast and let your voices be heard. Go ahead and hit us up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. We'll play them on the show, respond in kind. You can also email us here at feedback@thespiritreport.com. That's feedback@thespiritreport.com. Leave those emails. Of course, we will read those emails here, reply to those emails here live on the show. You can hit us up on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. So go ahead and do yourself a favor and follow me there. Chop it up with your man throughout the week. I said, do yourself a favor. That's some self-important shit like a motherfucker, ain't it? what else, man? You can also hit us up on our website, man. Go to www.thespanreport.com, and all of the podcasts are available there. You can watch replays of the show. You can vote in the polls. You can leave comments there. You can donate to the show as much as you like, as often as you like. And, of course, we appreciate every dime over here at the Spirit Report Podcast, man. I just told y'all my basement flooded. I could use a few dollars, man. Help your boy out. No, seriously, though. Every dollar is appreciated for those of you who feel so inclined to donate to the Spirit Report Podcast Network, man. Real talk. And also, man, we got some new shirts in the Spirit Report Podcast Network store. So go ahead and cop yourself a Baywatch t-shirt or a Baywatch hoodie, you know what I'm saying? Because the Baywatch podcast has some official merch now. So go ahead and, you know, get yourself some of that merch, man. It's getting cold outside. Get yourself a hoodie, you know what I'm saying? Wrap yourself up in the warmth of the Spans, you know what I'm saying? We're a nice, wholesome couple, you know what I'm saying? So do that, man. Go ahead and cop yourself some Baywatch gear. We also have in time for election season, man, we got a vote shirt. You know, vote before they make that shit illegal. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead and cop yourself a vote shirt. You know, rock it. You know, it would be really dope if y'all would rock the vote shirt when y'all go to vote and take pictures of it and put it on social media. That'd be really cool. Go ahead and cop yourself one of those shirts too, man. We really do appreciate everybody who does that, man. Real talk. But it is time for us to get right into it, man. We got some stuff to talk about. And of course, y'all know we're going to touch on some of the real major stuff that's been in the news. But we got to get into the news first. So here we go. All right, we are in the news, man. And of course, the first thing we're going to talk about, we're just going to get right into it. We're going to dive right into this madness. Bill Cosby has been convicted, has been sentenced, and Bill Cosby was given 3 to 10 years in prison. Yeah, man, they gave him 3 to 10 years. And, you know, we talked about the whole Bill Cosby thing for the last, you know, for years now, man. Y'all know where I stand on this shit. It's amazing, though, like, even up to this point, how little people who you think are very invested in this, right, who you would think would pay attention, really have no fucking clue what they're talking about when it comes to this case. I see people who are disappointed. I see people who are claiming conspiracy theories and all of that, but we're going to do our due diligence and we're going to read this story, man. This comes out of clickondetroit.com. That's an NBC affiliate here in Detroit. And it says a judge denied Bill Cosby bail Tuesday after he was sentenced to 3 to 10 years in state prison for drugging and molesting a woman in his suburban Philadelphia home. The 81-year-old will be locked up immediately. Judge Stephen O'Neill sentenced Cosby 5 months after his conviction in the first celebrity trial of the Me Too era. Prosecutors were seeking a sentence of 5 to 10 years in prison. The defense asked for house arrest. The 81-year-old comedian did not make a statement in court. Cosby sat back in a chair, his head on his headrest as the sentence was read. The judge declared Bill Cosby a sexually violent predator as he prepared to sentence the 81-year-old comedian for drugging and sexually assaulting a woman over a decade ago. The classification means that Cosby must undergo monthly counseling for the rest of his life and report quarterly to his authorities. His name will appear on a sex offender registry sent to neighbors, schools, and victims. Montgomery County Judge Stephen O'Neill made the decision as he weighed the punishment for Cosby for violating Temple University women's basketball administrator Andrea Constant in his suburban Philadelphia estate in 2004. Now, first of all, like, I'm surprised by how many of, you know, but I'm really surprised by how many people are like kind of taken aback by the amount of time that Bill Cosby got, considering the amount of women who came forward to say that Bill Cosby violated them, considering the fact that, he had been kind of operating with impunity for the better part of 40 to 50 years doing this sort of thing, considering the fact that he admitted to using Quaaludes in order to take advantage sexually of women without their consent. There's so many different things where I'm just kind of surprised that, you know, there are still people who are holding on to the, you know, Cosby was about to buy NBC, or that, Cosby, he's 81 years old now, that we should actually we should be more lenient towards Cosby because he's 81 years old. Now, I want y'all to think about this for a second. Someone's 81 years old and they murder your daughter or they do something bad to anyone in your family. Are you trying to hear, well, they're 81 years old, so you should be light on them? Nobody's doing that. But you're going to hear a lot of that, man, because there's a lot of people. You're going to hear a lot of it. As a matter of fact, we're going to play this video because this is some of the reactions that Roland Martin got once it was found out what Bill Cosby's sentence was going to be. So let me pull this up. Let me share this with you guys here so you guys can see this also. And let's go. I think it starts at about.
And going blind. Oh, he is blind.
Wait, let's pull it.
He's 81 years old. And going blind. Oh, he is blind. They could have kept him on house arrest like he'd been on for the past 6 months and still satisfy whatever they call justice. And justice ain't nothing but just us. Bill Cosby case remind me of Red Fox, Sammy Davis Jr. When our black stars reach a certain pinnacle and they stomp their toe any kind of way, they find some way to put them down. I felt or sensed they were giving 10. They call this set being nice 3 to 10. He ain't gonna make parole in 3. He ain't gonna make don't last 3 years. The man is 81 years old and he's blind. Come on, y'all.
Okay, that's another thing too. I've been hearing a lot of people talk about Bill Cosby supposedly being blind. Do y'all forget that Bill Cosby was about to go on a motherfucking nationwide comedy tour right before this whole shit blew up? Did y'all forget that Bill Cosby was talking about coming out with another television sitcom right before all this shit blew up? And the minute he became public enemy number one when it came to all of these women coming forward and saying that he had done something to them, and Andrea Constant case was able to go forward because the prosecutor in that county wasn't taking the case forward prior to, suddenly Bill Cosby is legally blind, he can't see, and he's 81 years old, and he's frail, and he can't do anything anymore. Come on, man. Like, suddenly everybody was like, yo, well, you know, Bill Cosby can't see no more. Fuck out of here, dude.
Some mercy. You know what I mean? This man needs mercy. All the things he's done, positive and plus, sure he made a mistake. Sure he got accused of all that. But he's 81 years old. We got to respect our elders. And we don't take elders in formal ways.
I'm not about disrespect the elders at all, but I'm not about to actually just dismiss what an elder did because they're an elder. You know what I'm saying? Like, if we walking around with an 81-year-old rapist, you know, if there's an 81-year-old rapist walking around, I'm just like, well, he's 81. Fuck it. No, man. And if he's an elder, then he should be showing us a better example. He shouldn't be given leniency because he's old. He knows what the fuck he's doing. You know, it's not the same thing as we're like, well, you know, he's only 15, because you hear that case, you know, you hear that a lot, too, especially when it comes to, you know, the next story we're going to talk about after this Bill Cosby shit. But you hear that a lot when it comes to dudes in sexual assault, rape cases. First of all, like, well, do you really want to tear a man down, tear a young man down and destroy his life before it begins when he's young and he's done some fucked up shit? Do you really want to tear his life apart? Do you really want to make sure that he can't go forward in life ever again? And now here we are on the end game of it. And it's like, well, do you really want to just, you know, he's 81 years old, man. He's lived his life. Okay, well, shit, he's going to live the rest of his life behind bars. Fuck him. You know? But, you know, that's an attitude that a lot of people within the community seem to have right now.
And that's what they're doing to Bill Cosby. They're throwing him away.
Well, I'm kind of neutral, and the reason why I'm neutral about it is, one, I never met Mr. Cosby myself personally, so I can't judge him. But also, on the other hand, it still sticks in my mind, why did they wait so long? You know, it's like someone attacking me when I was younger, and then 80 years, 60, 70 years later, I understand that they said that it was...
Okay, this is another tired talking point too, right? Why did these women wait so long, okay? I think at this point, if you've been paying attention, you should know that it's kind of common knowledge for when someone has been sexually assaulted that there's a varied number of reasons as to why someone doesn't come forward immediately. One of those things is fear. One of those things is fear of not being believed. One of those things is fear of nothing happening to their assailant. And we've seen that happen time and again, right? Soon as a woman comes out, especially if she comes out against a dude who's of power, a dude who has means, a dude who has influence, the first thing people do is, well, why would he need to take it from you? Excuse me. I saw that just yesterday. Someone on Facebook, like, why would Bill Cosby need to take it from these hoes? Like, for one, one of the things about this sort of thing when it comes to rape, sexual assault, or whatever, especially when it comes to someone like Bill Cosby, so someone of Bill Cosby's stature, is they kind of count on that kind of shit. They count on the public having goodwill generated with the public because of their public persona, right? So the public persona has kind of given them license to act in a certain way because no one will believe that they would be anything different. So when you have a lady like this saying, well, why would these women wait so long to say anything? It's like, well, who's going to believe me against Bill Cosby, America's dad, the dude with the number one comedy television show in America right now? Who's going to believe me over him? And you got people who confuse Bill Cosby with Cliff Huxtable. Bill Cosby raised me. Bill Cosby made me want to go to college. Bill Cosby made me see that black people ain't always got to be, we ain't always got to be thugs, and we ain't always got to be criminals, man. We could be doctors and we could be lawyers. And that's all beautiful. That's all beautiful. But that doesn't negate. It never negates being a sexual deviant. Where you're taking something away from someone else without their consent, especially their sexual agency, right? So the whole idea of why these women didn't come forward is because of these questions right here. They don't think that they're going to be believed, and they don't think that they'll have any recourse whatsoever. There's a whole bunch of dudes who didn't get off. You know what I'm saying? Like, we sitting up here right now, like, yo, you and it's funny because I've seen this point made in favor of Bill Cosby, but I'm about to flip it right now. Brett Kavanaugh is being nominated to the Supreme Court right now. He's got three women coming out with allegations that he assaulted them sexually in his past. Donald Trump is sitting in the White House right now. He's had over 20 women come out and say that he assaulted them sexually in the past, right? So people have seen dudes get off on rape allegations. Now, another thing, too, there's a lot of folks who seem to think that there is a conspiracy against black men when it comes to these rape allegations and dudes being locked up and whatever else. Man, do y'all remember CeeLo Green? Do y'all remember when CeeLo Green said that it wasn't rape if she doesn't remember what the fuck happened? Do y'all remember that? Had y'all seen CeeLo Green in jail anytime soon? What about Nate Parker? Remember Nate Parker? Nate Parker was out here promoting his movie, The Birth of a Nation, which was the Nat Turner story, or his rendition of the Nat Turner story, and the details of his sexual assault or alleged sexual assault of a woman while he was in college came to light, and people, you know, were talking about that. Nate Parker didn't go to jail. Nate Parker didn't suffer any sort of judicial fate when it came to that. His movie might not have done as well as it probably could have, but he didn't suffer any real legal consequences behind that. So it's not as if these dudes aren't getting off. There's a whole bunch of dudes getting off for raping women, because we still, for a large degree, don't believe women when they come forward to say that somebody raped them. We just don't. And a lot of them don't come forward because we don't believe them when they come forward. But this attitude is one of the reasons why people don't come forward when it comes to rape allegations.
Because of fear or whatever. But then even when the fear factor left, I don't understand why it took so long.
Okay, that's another thing. Who are you to determine someone else's level of fear and when their fear factor left? Right? Who are you to determine that? See, here's another thing, man. And I think I've said this before on the show, and I'll say it again. You got to be very mindful of who you're talking to when you say this sort of shit, right? Be very mindful of who you're talking to when you say this sort of shit, because you don't know it. You may not know it, but you may be talking to a sexual abuse victim. Then when you're saying this shit, you may be talking to a sexual abuse victim. There's a lot of people who have been sexually abused who haven't said anything, who've kind of pushed it into the back of their minds, who've kind of tried to move past what happened to them in that time, whether they were children, whether they were adults. They're trying to move past it, and they're in a conversation with you, and you're like, man, why would I don't believe these people? Why would they held on to it for so long? Like, I would need better. They have to come forward before, you know, at a certain amount of time. What time is good enough for you? Right? What time is good enough for you? They have to come. They have to come forward on your timetable in order for them to be believed, which is bullshit, which is bullshit. And I want y'all to understand that the victims of sexual assault are listening to the things that you guys are saying right now. Some of y'all are walking around talking all this shit, supporting Bill Cosby, not knowing that somebody in your family, somebody you love, somebody you around every fucking day may be the victim of sexual assault, and they never talk to you about it because they know how you feel about it. And they know how you feel about it because of the ways in which you talk about these subjects right now. Be mindful of the way that you talk about this shit with the people you know, with the people you love. Just saying, man. But there's more. Like, there's more people, like, you know, kind of doing their response thing. So we're going to listen to a little bit more.
I think it's unfair. I think he's being singled out as a celebrity and as an African-American celebrity, whereas we have other people who are, like, literally in politics, politicians. Same thing, but it just seems to be passed over. So I really believe that he's being singled out, and I really think that it's unfair.
All right, here's another thing too. First things first, if you listen to this show, you know that I believe that there is a vast disparity in the ways that justice is meted out in the United States of America, especially against Black people, right? No ifs, ands, or buts about it. If you listen to this show, you know that. The other thing too, though, is that I need you guys to understand that when you guys get out here and you talk about this sort of thing, I need y'all to kind of do at least the bare minimum and research the sorts of things you guys are talking about. Like, we could talk about, you know, I've seen people bring up Charlie Sheen. I've seen people bring up Brett Kavanaugh, as I did earlier. I've seen people bring up Donald Trump. But then we've also, over the course of this time, we've talked about Roman Polanski, who was convicted, who fled the country, who can never come back to the United States. We talk about Harvey Weinstein, who is facing life right now, who is on trial for sexual assault right now and could get up to life in prison for what he's accused of doing at this very moment. Okay? Even to this point right now, y'all talk about Donald Trump, right? The interesting thing about this is Donald Trump, the guy who's he's trying to nominate for president, I mean, for the Supreme Court, thinks that a president shouldn't be indicted, right? You think that people aren't waiting for Donald Trump to get up out of office before they start charging him with shit? He thinks it like I think Donald Trump right now is trying to give himself that insurance policy of I'm going to put a bunch of my dudes on the Supreme Court as a firewall against all this shit I'm going to be in trouble for when I get up out this motherfucker because I can't hold this seat forever. Right? There are consequences being meted out to other people. Like, you got the Charlie Rose dude who was on NBC. I mean, on CBS. He ain't there no more. You got the dude who was over the head of CBS. I think, what was this guy's name? I'm drawing a blank on this dude's name, but he's no longer the head of NBC, CBS anymore. Like, these guys are, they're being moved up out of the paint to some degree. Right. They may not be meeting the same sort of justice that Bill Cosby is meeting at this particular moment. But that's not to say that they won't get there. You have to understand that this Me Too movement, this Time's Up movement and everything else, this stuff is relatively new. This wasn't a thing 10 to 15 years ago where there was an active movement to get these motherfuckers up out of the paint. This thing is going like it's brand new, it's nebulous. It may be 2 years old at most. And a lot of it was surrounding our talk around Bill Cosby, our talk around Harvey Weinstein, our talk around Donald Trump and what have you. All right. So you got a lot of that going on. So this whole idea that these dudes like Bill Cosby was singled out, man, Bill Cosby was out here for 60 motherfucking years doing this shit. He got away with this shit for 60 years, 50 years, however many years. He got away with it a hell of a lot longer than a whole lot of other motherfuckers. But, you know, we got one more.
I don't care who you are. If you committed that type of crime and you were convicted of it by a jury of your peers, then you have to do your time. I don't care who he is or who he was. Like, if he did something to victimize women in general, like, you're going to have to pay for it. As far as the label is concerned, I don't know if sometimes that's a way of some people just adding this extra stamp of him like being a demon, demonizing his name. I'm not sure. I don't see him like trying to roll up on a whole bunch of different women right now being the age that he is. But unfortunately, in our society, as a black man, you have so many standards held. You have high standards that you have, and it's part of the nature of the beast, unfortunately. When they get you.
All right. So that was on Roland Martin's new daily digital show. Like, he went out and he got some reactions to the the ruling of Bill Cosby or his sentencing, so to speak, right? So you got that going on. Now, another thing, right? So all of these defenses that are coming up for Bill Cosby. One of the things that I find very interesting is that Bill Cosby would not have taken a lot of these defenses from some of y'all, right? Some of y'all got Bill Cosby, y'all holding this man up to high esteem, man. Bill Cosby is like, yo, again, you heard a whole bunch of people saying, man, shit, Bill Cosby made me think I could be a doctor, man. Bill Cosby inspired me to go to college, man. Bill Cosby entertained me as a kid, man. Fat Albert, man, you know what I'm saying? I watched A Different World, man. I wanted to go to HBCU, man. Bill Cosby done gave up all this money to these HBCUs, man. They done gave, like, man, Bill Cosby was that dude, man. And it's as if, for one, that Bill Cosby was kind of using all of this goodwill to kind of cover up for this bullshit that he was involved in. But at the same time, like, Bill Cosby didn't even like half of y'all. Bill Cosby made it a point around 2004, 2005, to go on a nationwide fucking tour talking cash shit about poor black people, right? And he tried to distance himself from poor black people to the point where he started calling them it and them and they, right? I don't know these people. When was it like, anytime y'all hear white people talk about these people, those people over there, how do you feel about that shit? You feel a certain kind of way. Well, Bill Cosby was talking about that, talking that way about a lot of you motherfuckers. And some of y'all are out here like, yo, Bill Cosby is, they railroading him, man. He was trying to buy NBC and all, man. the ridiculousness of that, right? So, I'm gonna go back just a little bit, and we're gonna find out how Bill really felt about some of us who weren't necessarily as privileged or in the same position as he was. We're gonna go back to a little bit of that infamous pound cake speech of 2004.
In the old days, you couldn't hooky school because behind every drawn shade was an eye. And before your mother got off the bus into the house, she knew exactly where you had gone, who had gone into the house. Parents don't know that today. I'm talking about these people who cry when their son is standing there in an orange suit.
Was Camille crying when he was let out? And I'm sure he probably has an orange jumpsuit on right now. Was Camille crying?
Where were you when he was two?
Where was she when he had the Quaaludes?
Where were you when he was 12?
Where were you when he was slipping the Quaaludes in the drink?
Where were you when he was 18? And how come you don't know he had a pistol?
How come you didn't know he had a prescription for Quaaludes from a gynecologist? Now, what would he need to be having a prescription from a gynecologist for Quaaludes, no less?
These are not political criminals.
He's not a political criminal.
These are people going around stealing Coca-Cola.
He's a rapist.
People getting shot in the back of the head over a piece of pound cake.
Dropping drugs in their drinks and trying to take sexual advantage of them while they knocked out.
And then we all run out and we're outraged. Oh, the cops shouldn't have shot him.
Oh, man, they're trying to stop him from buying NBC.
What the hell was he doing with the pound cake in his hand?
What the hell was he doing with the Quaaludes in the drink?
Brown versus the Board of Education is no longer the white person's problem.
Is no longer white people's problem, y'all. Stop talking about them white people and doing him wrong. It ain't the white people's problem no more, y'all.
We've got to take the neighborhood back.
We got to stop protecting rapists.
We've got to go in there. It's right around the corner. It's standing on the corner.
Now, mind you, right now he's talking about black people. It's right around the corner. It's standing on the corner. It's right around the corner. It's standing on the street. Like, he's talking about black people right now. He's totally separated himself from this shit.
It can't speak English.
It can't speak English. Who is it? He's describing black people as it.
Doesn't want to speak English.
It doesn't want to speak English.
I can't even talk the way these people talk.
I can't talk the way these people talk. He's totally separated himself from a whole lot of y'all.
Why you ain't where you is, go wild back. I don't know who these people are.
He don't know who these people are. He ain't been... Yo, poor black people are so far from his motherfucking existence right now, he don't know how to function around them.
And I blamed the kid until I heard the mother talk. And then I heard the father talk. This is all in the house. Everybody knows it's important to speak English, except these knuckleheads.
Bill Cosby apparently hasn't heard of the art of code switching that a lot of people from the neighborhood tend to develop when they get around a professional setting, when they get to work, when they go to school, when they do those things. Like, yo, they're at work, they're around white people. We learn how to code switch. We can speak the king's English when we're around these white people. When we get back home, man, fuck them white people, we gonna relax. And we should be able to relax around our own. Right? We should be able to relax. We should be who we are. It's bad enough that we should have to even code switch as is. But because we do code switch, yo, when I get back home, I ain't got time to be putting on my white voice, man. I'm with my people.
You can't land the plane with why you ain't wear a hug. You can't be a doctor with that kind of crap coming out of your mouth.
You can't, but that's why we learned the code switch. And there's a whole lot of people who've gotten their doctor's degree, their doctorate degree, their master's degree, their bachelor's degree, their associate's degree, who've gone on to advanced studies, and they still come home and be like, yo, what's up, player? What we doing tonight? What's cracking? They still relate to the people when they come home. They don't try to stand above their people when they come home. They don't try to lord over their people when they come home and try to act superior and separate themselves in that way. And there's a lot of you motherfuckers that not, you can hear the laughter in that crowd. There's a lot of people who buy into that respectability politics shit. I've talked about this shit at length on this show. That respectability politics is bullshit. It will forever be bullshit. Bill Cosby was a proponent of it, and it did not save him. His ass is in an orange jumpsuit, just like the motherfucker he started this story off with. It didn't save him.
Why can't you hit the streets? Why can't you clean it out yourself? It's our time now, ladies and gentlemen.
It is our time, ladies and gentlemen, to stop taking up a rapist in our communities. Hell, we talk about rapists who get away with shit all the time. Hell, R. Kelly is out here acting out with impunity. He ain't been to jail. We seen this motherfucker on video pissing on a baby girl, 14 years old. He's still out here making albums, going on concerts and shit. Nate Parker still out here living life like a motherfucker. This, who else? CeeLo Green still out here living life. He was shit. At one point, CeeLo Green was out here on like judging on The Voice and shit. Still out here living life, man. Everybody ain't getting it. It ain't no fucking conspiracy. Some of these motherfuckers get away with it within our community, too. And why do they get away with it within our community, too? Because we cape for these motherfuckers, knowing goddamn well some of them just may have taken it when they weren't supposed to. So, yeah, man, I have no sympathies whatsoever when it comes to Bill Cosby. Real talk. It's high time that a lot of y'all motherfuckers kind of give up on that sympathy, too, because Bill Cosby didn't really give a fuck about you whatsoever. Bill Cosby separated himself from you. Bill Cosby talked cash shit about you and your people. Called your people it and they and those people. I don't understand them. There's a whole lot of y'all snowflake motherfuckers out here who try to separate yourself from blackness and have a hell of a lot of anti-black views, much the same way that Bill Cosby does. But truth be told, Cosby wouldn't fuck with you either. So, Puddin' Pop on sale box 4. He's there. And he gonna be there for the next 3 to 10 years. So, yeah, man. That's in the news. That's in the news. Now, another story we got in the news, and it actually kind of goes right into this whole sexual assault thing, man. We're gonna talk about Brett Kavanaugh. Brett Kavanaugh has a third woman come out and says that he also sexually assaulted her as well. All right, now we're reading this story here. This comes out of The Guardian. It says a third woman is expected to publicly make accusations of sexual misconduct against Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh this week. Her attorney, Michael Avenatti, who's also the attorney for, I believe, Stormy Daniels, who said that Donald Trump had an affair with her and paid her, I believe, $130,000 to keep quiet about shit. And he paid her through campaign funds. But it says Michael Avenatti said plunging the judge's confirmation to America's highest court into further uncertainty. He says she reached out to me. We vetted her claim and she satisfactorily passed that vetting. Avenatti said of the new accuser in an interview with The Guardian on Monday. Avenatti said that the woman, who was also asked to testify at a hearing before the Senate Judiciary Committee on Thursday, which will hear from California professor Christine Blasey Ford, who has alleged the judge drunkenly sexually assaulted her while in high school. The fresh allegations relate to Kavanaugh school days when he attended the elite Georgetown Prep School in Maryland, where Ford was already accused him of a violent sexual attack at a party there when he was 17 and she was 15. Those allegations turned his confirmation process upside down earlier this month. A second accuser, Deborah Ramirez, came forward Sunday to say that Kavanaugh exposed himself to her at a party when he was a freshman at Yale. Matters related to the additional individual date back to Georgetown Preparatory School, Avenatti said. Now, remember when I was talking about the whole thing of, like, we talk about why do they wait so long to come forward and everything, and, you know, we don't want to destroy this man's life, right? Now, these are things that supposedly happened, that allegedly happened, while Brett Kavanaugh was in high school, while he was in college, and the thinking of a lot of people is, well, you know, teenage boys being teenage boys, right? Or, well, you know, he was a young man. You know, we can't really hold him accountable for the things he did when he was young. He was finding himself. He was finding his way, you know. And, you know, none of us are perfect, right? And, of course, none of us are perfect. Truth be told, yeah, none of us are perfect. But in a time where you have the Me Too movement, you have the Time's Up movement going on, where women are asserting their autonomy, they're asserting their agency, they're asserting their sexual rights. Yo, man, being a Supreme Court justice in this time, having these sorts of allegations against you, bit problematic. And it also goes to show how, yo, on both ends of the spectrum, it's all about how are we to protect these men and their legacies or their lives, as opposed to trying to figure out the truth of the matter when these women come forward to say that these things happen to them, right? It's very interesting, our perspective of how we like, as a society, have a knee-jerk reaction to protect these dudes. You got Senate, members of the Senate, I think Lindsey Graham and Mitch McConnell, already saying no matter what these women say, we voting to push this motherfucker through. We confirming his ass no matter what. So they are very willing to put a alleged sexual assaulter on the Supreme Court. Right? They don't give a damn what these women are saying. And yet you have people who question why these women don't come forward in the first place. Well, shit, what difference does it make if y'all gonna put this motherfucker on the Supreme Court to begin with anyway? Why should I come forward? It's gonna be a waste of time. Nothing of consequence is gonna happen to this dude. So why should I come forward and bear the brunt of your scrutiny, of going through my life and making out to be like I am the bad person here when I'm, you know, like, yeah, it was, he put his dick in my face, you know, but, you know, far be it from me to, like, ask for somebody to, like, do something about it, you know? I'm sorry. Asking for some accountability is just too much to ask of a future Supreme Court justice. Like, I'm sorry. It's crazy to me, too. Right? And so, no matter what, whether he's 81 and he's towards the end of his life, people are out here talking about, yo, we should have some leniency. And whether he's young and he's about to be a Supreme Court justice, people are still out here asking for leniency. Nobody's actually asking for consequences to be meted out. Interesting how that works. The common denominator is both of these dudes are accused of having done something, and the general consensus is, well, they didn't say nothing then, so fuck them. That's black or white. It's black or white, man. People just, like, they acting like they don't care about what these women are going through, about these allegations that have been coming forward. And they wonder why they don't come forward earlier. It's going to be interesting to see. It's going to be interesting to see how this entire series of events plays out with this Brett Kavanaugh thing. Because you got a president of the United States who also tends to always side with the dudes in these sorts of cases. When Roy Moore was running for Senate in Alabama, that special election that was going on in Alabama, and there was talk of Roy Moore being a fucking child molester, guess whose side Donald Trump fell on? Roy Moore until he couldn't no more until Roy Moore lost. And then once Roy Moore lost, then Donald Trump was like, man, fuck that dude. I didn't want him no way. Right. I would just try to get behind him, you know, because we needed that seat as a Republican. He didn't give a fuck about what happened to these people's lives and whether or not these allegations were true or nothing. Nobody was trying to find the truth. He was trying to be politically expedient. So, yeah, man, this idea of these women just coming forward for no fucking reason is ridiculous. And not only that, I want y'all to kind of educate me, man. When was the last time that y'all saw a woman come up, get rich, get famous off of alleging that a famous, powerful, rich dude sexually assaulted her? When was the last time y'all had that happen? When was the last time y'all heard of any woman coming up in that way? Not even the woman who accused, who Mike Tyson was arrested and went to prison for. She didn't come up. She wasn't notarized and rich and famous and all these other things. She was a pariah in the community, man. So, yeah. Brett Kavanaugh, Bill Cosby, sexual assault. That has been heavy, heavy, heavy in the news this week. And that has been our motherfucking news. All right, so we got another story here, man. This is actually, wait, before we get to it, it's Blue Blazes time, y'all.
What in Blue Blazes is going on out here?
Did this nigga just say Blue Blazes?
All right. So some of you guys are baseball fans, and although we are not on the Beer and Chicken podcast, we're going to talk about something that happened at a baseball park right here in Detroit at Comerica Park, man. Apparently, if you are a person who went to Comerica Park last Friday and took in a baseball game, and you might have ordered some Little Caesars pizza. Somebody was spitting in y'all pizza, man.
Well, that'll be a monkey's bare-assed uncle.
Yeah, so there was this dude, man. He was a food services employee. He actually was videotaped spitting into the pizza at Little Caesars. As a matter of fact, let me pull this video up so you guys can check this out along with me. Man, I am loving this new computer. Shit just comes right the fuck up and shit. It doesn't take all day. Oh, my God. I love it. But check this out, man. Here's the story. Hey. Unmute.
Saw that video first on 7.
Now we're learning more about it from the coworker who pushed the record button. He told 7 Action News reporter Bethany Moore what happened when he sounded the alarm and why this may not be an isolated incident.
You're right, that former employee has been arrested, and the other employee that took the video says he was just trying to warn others. Quinnell May says when he heard what the other employee said he was going to do to the pizza on Friday, he was in shock.
And I asked him, was he serious about that? Like, was he really going to spend a custom pizza? And he said, yeah. So I pulled out my phone to have proof just in case he did it.
May said he tried to report it to his manager, but wasn't heard.
So I went home and I posted the video to show people what was going on because they obviously didn't want to listen. I was going to stay after to go down and speak to the HR to not cause a scene in the stand, but they didn't want to listen to me.
That video went viral on Facebook and Instagram. In a statement, Detroit Sports Service, the food and beverage providers at Comerica Park said they closed that food stand when they found out and got rid of the tampered with food. But May says that that employee says he's spit in the food before.
He said he's done it before and he's been working there for 3 years or two or whatever he said. So it's no telling how many people probably looked over it. And I was just that one person to catch it and film it and turn it in.
But May says even though he was trying to do the right thing, he was fired over the phone for posting the video. And you can see in this text message with his supervisor at the park, he was asked to take the video down.
I'm disgusted at him for spitting a pizza, and I'm also disgusted at Comerica Park for threatening to sue me for posting a video and exposing it when they should be worried about him spitting in the pizza.
But Detroit Sports Service say he wasn't fired, but has been suspended, and that, quote, no one acting in an official work capacity asked him to remove the video. The prosecutor's office is still reviewing the case for possible charges. Bethany Moore, 7 Action News.
All right, Bethany, thank you for the update.
All right, so now the guy who was actually seen on video.
Best of a former employee at Comerica Park.
Wait, I think they may be, this may be the update. So maybe start sharing this again.
Who was caught on video spitting into a pizza. That video has gone viral since Friday. The Now Detroit's Bethany Moore is live to tell us what she learned about this investigation. Bethany.
Well, yes, that former employee is expected to be arraigned in court tomorrow. And as you mentioned, we got a chance to speak with the person that actually took that video. And he said he took it to warn others. Now, here's that video now that was taken on Friday, but then posted.
Okay, so no, this isn't. This is just like some shit that he put up later on in the day. It's the same report. So, the guy who was in this video spitting in this pizza, they have arrested this dude. He has been charged with a felony. Rightfully fucking so. And another thing, man, like there has been here in the Detroit area a little bit of a hepatitis outbreak, right? Like there have been numerous restaurants across the Detroit area that have had issues with hepatitis. And with this sort of thing going on, like with that sort of with people having this knowledge of, yo, there may be a little bit of if there can ever be a such thing as a little bit of a hepatitis outbreak, to see a motherfucker spitting on some pizza. Like, yeah, man, lock his ass the fuck up. Lock him up. Now, interestingly enough, I want you same motherfuckers who were talking about giving Bill Cosby some leniency or Brett Kavanaugh some leniency to have some leniency about this shit. Right? Yeah. Well, you know, he was young, you know, he was still trying to find himself. He didn't really know how to like conflict resolution wasn't really taught in his school, you know? So maybe we should like, yeah, give him some leniency, man. Get the fuck out of here. Fuck out of here, man. So yeah, man. Niggas spitting in pizzas at Comerica Park. I'm glad I ain't no Tigers fan. You know what I'm saying? White Sox all day long, but yeah, man, that's some bullshit right there, man. Real talk. Another story, man. This is actually kind of comical because we need some laughs around here, man. Real talk. We kind of need some laughs after some of the shit that we didn't kind of talked about around here. And so, where is it? Yeah, here. Okay. So, and I know Facebook videos like to start automatically sometimes, but yo, check this out, man. So there was this lady, right? And she had some neighbors, and her neighbors had dogs, and her neighbors used to let the dogs out. Dogs come shit in her yard, and she got fed up with that. So check this out, man. We gonna show y'all how she dealt with being fed up with her neighbors letting the dog shit in her yard. Where is it? Here we go. Check this out, y'all. Here she go.
They certainly have, but they never could have guessed who did this. This is what Michael Smith and his girlfriend saw this afternoon. A person walk up and rub dog feces on their door.
I was just thinking, like, wow, that's crazy.
Uh-oh.
I mean, people do that, you know what I'm saying?
That person was Brenda Mullins, their neighbor, and she's not denying it.
Dog came and messed in my yard. I picked it up. I took it, put it on her doorknob. You didn't want to clean it up here, you're cleaning it up there.
She says this has been going on for a while, where the dogs come over and go in her yard.
The longer it goes on, the more madder I am. Mm-hmm. Today was the last straw.
She has video showing the dogs relieving themselves in the yard.
I had to do what I had to do.
Man, that other dog pissed on another dog.
Planning, but yeah. I had to do what I had to do.
But Michael says she hasn't tried to.
Okay, hold up. Okay, so there's video of this of the dogs going to the bathroom in this lady's yard. One of the dogs looked like he peed on the other dog while he was also taking a shit in the yard, right? And there's a woman who's overseeing the dogs. She picks one of the dogs up, but she ain't picking up the shit. Well, I know you can't pick up the piss, but she ain't even bothered to like even try to look to pick up the shit. She just like lets the dog go in this lady's yard and just picks up a dog and keeps going.
Talk with him, and if the dogs did go in her yard, it wasn't on purpose.
They're small dogs, they're chihuahuas. They're not like big dogs, you know what I'm saying? But
hey, man, we had a chihuahua here. Tyrone sometimes would leave, you know, you would think that Tyrone was eating some of the same shit that we was eating. Pick up after your dogs, man.
Most of the time we have them on the property here.
Michael just wishes it didn't reach this point.
It just shows that people don't know how to, you know, solve issues without doing something stupid. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I don't know. She could have either just could have talked about it, you know what I'm saying, resolved it, you know what I'm saying, apologized or whatever.
Brenda's.
Or you could have just picked up after your motherfucking dog, man. I mean, that's an option, too. Nobody should have to come to you to tell you, hey, man, I'm tired of your dog shitting in my yard and y'all not picking it up. Nobody should have to come to tell you that, especially if you're letting the dog go. You know goddamn well you letting the dog go over there, but he probably not shitting in your yard. You know motherfucking well you're not letting that shit just. You know what? I take that back. Some people are trifling as fuck. Some people will let the damn dog just keep shitting and keep shitting and keep shitting and keep shitting and keep shitting. So, yeah, that might be a thing. I'll tell you this, though. That lady went on a smear campaign when it came to leaving that shit on that motherfucking front door.
What?
I said it was a motherfucking smear campaign when she left that shit on the front door.
What?
You heard me, motherfucker. So yeah, man. Yeah, she went out. She got fed up. And she spread doo-doo all over those people's front door. Man, matter of fact, she got some more to say. Let's hear her
out.
She
felt it was all she could do to be heard. It's pretty gross. So what would you say to people that say you took it too far?
Well, I feel like I took it a little further than I wanted to. But what was I supposed to do? I got to prove a point, too.
All right.
Wow. Well, Brenda.
So, yeah, man, Brenda, she almost got champ of the week this week, man. I ain't going to even lie, man. And she's a senior citizen. Now, y'all talking about having respect for seniors and whatnot. Hey, man, have respect for that lady's yard. Not let your dog shit in that lady's yard and not picking up after y'all. Come on, man. Do better. Bill Cosby will be ashamed of you niggas. Right? All right, man. But that has been Blue Blazers.
What in Blue Blazers is going on out here?
Did this nigga just say Blue Blazers?
But y'all know what time it is.
That I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that fight to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the U.S.
Whoops, I almost started it off again. But we are in Proud to be an American. And although Proud to be an American is ironic, sometimes we actually have some times where, yo, we are proud to be an American, right? Yeah, you know, we could be patriotic around this motherfucker sometimes. And this story here comes out of stuff black people don't like. I don't know how I found this. But this comes out of stuff black people don't like .blogspot.com, okay? And they're talking about some Michigan-based shit. So, it hits close to home for your boy, right? This story here, we're going to read this. It says, in a multicultural society, democracy is nothing more than a racial headcount. Our non-white future governed by non-whites. Wait, what? Our non-white future governed by non-whites raised on a steady diet of anti-white hatred will pass laws to benefit non-whites at the expense of whites. Okay. Here's yet another glimpse of the non-white future governed to benefit non-whites exclusively. Wait. Hold up. Wait a fucking minute. Is this a racist website, nigga? Hold up. Because, you know, they used to have a whole bunch of these back in the day, man. I'm still, you know, God ain't finished with me yet, man. But sometimes I'd be like finding myself arguing with, you know, racist trolls and every now and again. You know, I find myself going back and forth with them every now and again. But I have never like went back to their websites or anything like that to argue with them. But apparently this may be a racist website. And that's why they call it stuff that black people don't like. So that's why they like our non-white future governed by non-whites raised on a steady diet of anti-white hatred. This is a racist motherfucking website. Okay. 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 I get it now. Okay, it says, here's yet another glimpse of the non-white future governed to benefit non-whites exclusively while castigating whites 24/7. I'm loving this shit already. Because racists are mad. And when you find out what they mad about, nigga, you gonna be glad too, right? So it says, Detroit Free Press, this is a story about Michigan State Representative LaTanya Garrett from Detroit. It says, Garrett, whose district covers parts of Highland Park in Detroit, has, like the rest of us, watched instance after instance of race-based 911 calls over the past year. That manager at a Pennsylvania Starbucks who called the police on two black men whose crime was sitting and waiting for a friend and wanted to use the restroom before ordering, the men were handcuffed and arrested. The false arrest led Starbucks to do a day of cultural training. The LA fitness manager in New Jersey who called the police after falsely accusing a gym member for not paying to work out. The San Francisco woman who threatened to call police on an 8-year-old African-American girl for selling water on the sidewalk without a permit. Later dubbed Permit Patty, she wound up having to resign as CEO of her health company. Wasn't she selling weed? Health company. I mean, get it how you live, but I'm just saying, it's interesting how they chose to word that. Throughout the country, there's been an influx of calls where black brothers were just being black just seemed to be a problem, Garrett said. Being a black woman, having a black husband for 10 years, and having 3 black children, I'm always worried about their safety. So I put myself in their shoes and asked, what safety measures are in place to protect black people who are just living everyday life and having law enforcement called on them for no apparent reason? Garrett faces an uphill battle to convince an entrenched, mostly white and sometimes insensitive to black issues legislature. Wait a minute. They trying to flip it on me again. They trying to flip it on me. Like, nigga, my mind is being fucked right now. that calling the police on someone for breathing, swimming, walking, working out, or waiting in a restaurant while black should be a crime. But as hate continues to rise in America, the bill itself will force a needed conversation about what is happening, what we allowed, and what we are becoming. And if America refuses to do anything to stem the tide of hate, perhaps a Michigan legislator has found something that other states can emulate, a way to govern haters. Are they quoting somebody right now? I don't know. It says it might make life easier on law enforcement officers whose time should be spent on real crime, not fake crimes. Detroit Police Chief James Craig said last spring that he expects his officers to assess whether calls become criminal matters. If it's something that doesn't rise to the level of a criminal matter, that becomes more of a civil issue, he said. We're not going to be agents for discriminatory treatment. Now, House Bill 6318 and the accompanying House Bill 6319, which dictates penalties, will head to committee. If they get out, they will go to the House for a vote. Then again, if you call the police on an 8-year-old black girl for selling water outside of her apartment without a permit, the anti-white mindset will be codified into law because democracy is nothing but a racial headcount. And once again, we are running out of white people who are trying to fight the future. Okay, so what this lady did is she introduced legislation that would make it a felony to call the police on black people for no motherfucking reason whatsoever.
Well, I'll be a monkey's bare-assed uncle.
Yeah, man. She out here trying to put some laws on the books to keep it from, like, to keep white people from calling the police needlessly on black people. Now, the way that this was written kind of fucked me up a few times. I'm like, wait. Are we advocating for? Are we advocating against? Is this a race of white site? Is it not? Are they allies? Like, it was all over the place. However, Representative LaTanya Garrett of Detroit is trying to get a law in place here in Michigan where if white people call the police against black people for nothing, then they should get a felony. And God damn it, I'm all for it. She got my vote, even if I ain't in her district. Right? I wish I could vote for her. Real talk. I would vote for her 3 times if I could for this legislation. But yeah, man, that's in proud to be an American, man. And I'm proud to be an American with people like LaTanya Garrett. That's for damn sure. Another story, man. And this is, you know, this kind of goes back into the irony of the proud to be an American. You know, sometimes we, you know, it doesn't leave us a whole hell of a lot to be proud of, especially being black in America. And this story here was, A U.S. court ruled that dreadlock ban during the hiring process is actually motherfucking legal.
Hold my drink, bitch.
I'm saying, right? So this here comes out of NBCNews.com. It says the 11th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruled against a lawsuit filed by the Equal Opportunity Employment Commission against Catastrophe Management Solutions, effectively ruling that refusing to hire someone because of their dreadlocks is legal. The lawsuit was filed by the EEOC on behalf of Chastity Jones, whose job offer was rescinded by Catastrophe Management Solutions, located in Mobile, Alabama. According to the case file, Jenny Wilson, a human resources manager for CMS, commented on Jones's dreadlocks during a private hiring meeting to discuss scheduling conflicts, telling Jones, "They tend to get messy, although I'm not saying yours are, but you know what I'm talking about." Wilson told Jones that CMS would not bring Jones on board with dreadlocks, terminating the job offer. In their suit, the EEOC claimed that it was a violation of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, Title VII, arguing that dreadlocks are a racial characteristic that have been historically used to stereotype African Americans as not team players and as unfit for the workplace. Therefore, claiming that dreadlocks do not fit a grooming policy is based on these stereotypes and inherently discriminatory, as dreadlocks are a hairstyle physiologically and culturally associated with African Americans. Now, I'm trying to figure out how dreadlocks in and of themselves are how they present a problem for this particular occupation. Is it about presentation? And if it's about presentation, then you're ostensibly saying that, yo, black hair is not presentable, and therefore you should get rid of it. It's the way that your hair grows naturally. Ah, shit, damn. That creates a problem for us. You might want to get rid of that. You might want to get yourself a fade. You know, maybe we can give you, you know, you may be able to get away with a faux hawk, you know, nice lineup, you know, keep it clean, keep it tidy. You know, but we can't have the dreads, you know, it creates a problem for us. And the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals held that up as legal. As legal. And you wonder why some African Americans, sometimes myself included, aren't necessarily proud of this motherfucker, man. And you wonder why Colin Kaepernick may be taking a knee on, you know, police brutality and, you know, poverty in the neighborhoods and all sorts of things, man. Like, you wonder why these black people just won't get in fucking line, because shit ain't going a fucking way, man. And sometimes just being you is a problem. Is a motherfucking problem. A U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals said this shit was legal. Now, I wonder how far they would take this, whether or not they would take this and appeal even further. It says in their suit, the Court of Appeals disagreed, ruling that CMS's race-neutral grooming policy was not discriminatory, as hairstyles, while culturally associated with race, are not immutable physical characteristics. In essence, traits in a person's appearance that are tied to their culture but are otherwise changeable are not protected and can be used to deny job offers. Now, I know a lot of people who have dreads. Some of them have taken years to cultivate the way that their dreads look and to get their hair to lock up in the way in which they want it to lock up. And style it in the way in which they wanted to style it. Yo, I want this job, but I'm supposed to now just terminate a part of my identity because of this job? That's a lot to ask of someone. That's a lot to ask of a person to take on a job with you. Now, again, I wonder what this particular job entailed, that it required the taking off of dreads in order for them to perform said duties efficiently. I wonder what it entailed. And I wonder why the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals decided that discrimination on the basis of hair was legal in the hiring process. But yeah, man, that has been Proud to Be an American. All right. Shit. We not really proud, but you know. But y'all know what time it is, man. It's almost time for us to get up out of here, and we got to do this.
Yo,
We got some hats now, motherfuckers.
All right, it's Ass Hat of the Week time here at the Spare Report Podcast, and our ass hat this week is none other than Rick Snyder. Rick Snyder, who is the governor of the state of Michigan. There's a lot of real local stories here this week on the Spare Report Podcast, man. But yeah, man, Rick Snyder is the ass hat of the week this week. Now, for those of you who may not necessarily be privy, we got a lot of road construction work going on here in the state of Michigan. A lot of like orange cones all over the place, man, barrels and whatnot. You know, traffic being diverted, you know, to a whole hell of a lot of different, you know, freeways and roadways and whatnot, man. Like I-75 is, you know, going south is pretty much like it's a no-go to a large stretch of Detroiters. So, you know, you got people who are a little frustrated with the fact that the work isn't being done as fast as they would like for it to be done, right? Now, part of the reason that the work isn't being done as fast as they would like for it to be done is because the contract companies that the state hired to complete this work has been working with union employees, but they have the union employees working without a contract, right? And they locked their union employees out when the union employees decided they're like, yo, we should probably be negotiating terms going forward, right? So I'm going to read this story here. This comes out of Fox2Detroit.com. It says that non-union workers will be used to replace union workers to continue construction on Michigan roads, reports Tim Skubick Tuesday. The decision came after Governor Rick Snyder's update that no deal had been reached between union members and contractors as of Tuesday afternoon. The Michigan Infrastructure and Transportation Association and Local 324's contract expired in June. Our public is not going to be happy about this, Governor Rick Snyder said. I am not happy. The lockout on 150 road projects started September 4th. Snyder personally entered the talks Tuesday morning, but instead of a deal, he sent everybody back home. The situation is challenging, he said. Very challenging. I didn't see the point of continuing the dialogue. Some in the state have asked about Snyder's declaring a state of emergency. It's not as simple as declaring a state of emergency and having them all go back to work, Snyder said. Again, much of this is under federal labor law. Now, the interesting thing about them having or alluding to Rick Snyder declaring a state of emergency is that they would have had the National Guard. They would have tried to employ the National Guard as a union busting tool to complete the work that the union employees want to complete, but they just want to be under contract. And they've been locked out from work. This isn't the union going on strike saying, no, we're not going to do the work. This is the contractor saying that, no, we're going to lock these dudes out because we don't want to pay them the money that they want to, that their contracts typically stipulates, right? So what did they do? They decided that they were going to use non-union employees to complete this work. Now, trust me. Okay, I'm a union guy, right? I am currently in a union. I believe in, I believe in the union. I also have been on the other side of this as a contract employee. And I also know that as a contract employee doing the same type of work, I was being paid less as a contract employee to do the same type of work. I was paid less and I had more of the work, right? This is what happened as a contract employee. I was doing the same work, the same kind of work, but I was being paid less and I had more of the work than the union employees were able to negotiate for themselves, right? So the company is looking at this like, well, we can get more of this work done and we can pay these dudes less if we go this way, as opposed to paying these dudes a wage that we've typically seen as, you know, fair. You know, we negotiate these compensation packages. We negotiate the healthcare. We negotiate the wages. We negotiate the benefits and everything else. But if we can get away with paying these motherfuckers a hell of a lot less money, then goddamn it, we gonna get these scab motherfuckers. Now, truth be told, Michigan used to be like a union stronghold, man. Like, it's not anymore. You got a whole lot of people here who used to be union members who are like dead set against being a part of unions, who forget that the unions are a reason why you have a 5-day work week, a 40-hour work week, who forget that the reason why you get paid time and a half is because of the union employees and what the unions demanded, that the benefits that you get right now, that healthcare that you done got accustomed to, is because of union employees. Those vacations that you have become accustomed to is because of union employees. And the demands and the negotiations that have been put forth years before you got to where you are, right? Some of your compensation packages have already been negotiated for you. And some people, even with having all of that, they'll get mad and they'll bitch and they'll moan about having to pay union dues. You want all of these benefits, but you don't want to give your part up into the union. Now, I know with my union, I pay 1% of my paycheck. 1%. So if I make $3,000, the union gets $30. I'm not tripping on the $30, like on the $30. I'll probably buy a case of beer with that $30. But some people are tripping about that. And some people are upset that the union maybe, you know, it's been interesting to see like a lot of older white people are kind of turning away from the unions. Why? Because, you know, the unions are accepting, you know, brown and black people now. Yeah. Some of these white people, some of these union members voted for Donald Trump, right? Some of them did. Some of them voted for Rick Snyder. And Rick Snyder, sending everyone home from the table for negotiations, like doing that and basically gutting or trying to overstep the union and saying, well, fuck it, let's bring in the contractors, when the union didn't even strike, y'all. They didn't even strike. They were locked out by their employer. And their governor gave them the motherfucking shiv, man. Rick Snyder is the goddamn ass hat of the week this week here at the Spare and Poor Podcast, man. Real talk. But we do have a champ.
The champ is here. The champ is here.
All right. Our champ this week here at the Spare and Poor Podcast is none other than, wait for it, Leslie Jones. All right. Y'all probably wondering why Leslie Jones is the champ of the week this week here, right? Now, I know last week we kind of talked about Cat Williams, and we talked about Kevin Hart and the beef that they have. Well, more so, not so much Kevin Hart, but we talked about a lot about Cat Williams and how he talked about Tiffany Haddish and her rise in the entertainment world and the movie world and everything else, in the comedy world and whatnot. And like, truth be told, you know, I felt like Cat Williams, like, as much as some other people may think that he was like being comedic, I didn't find any of the shit that he said funny. Like, and if you have to dissect the joke, then, you know, it's probably not that funny, right? You know, both of these dudes have kind of positioned themselves as, you know, champions for women, so to speak, and who they've been helping come up in the comedy game. And Cat Williams was talking about Lunell and Melanie Camacho and why, you know, these women hadn't, you know, seen more prominence within the space and seen. And they looked at Tiffany Haddish as someone who had kind of like leapfrogged these women and didn't pay as many dues as these women. I know Kevin Hart, while he was on The Breakfast Club, kind of mentioned that Leslie Jones was one of the women who saw it come up, and she may have been up under, so to speak, Cat Williams. It's interesting how the language was being used as these dudes positioning themselves as champions for women and helping bring these women up, right? So while this is all going on, Leslie Jones is like, yeah, I ain't here for none of this shit. So we're going to read this story here. This comes out of source.com. It says Leslie Jones wants all the smoke. After Cat Williams came at every hot black comedian right now, especially Tiffany Haddish, and Night School star Kevin Hart did an interview with Power 105.1's The Breakfast Club, and Hart came to assist his defense. So when you say Tiffany Haddish doesn't deserve or isn't really a comedian, and these other women have worked hard, which they have, he said, shout outs to Melody Camacho, shout outs to Lunell, shout outs to Leslie Jones, who are all underneath the umbrella of Cat Williams. Cat Williams, have you ever used your platform to fucking bring the people that were under you up? You haven't. Kevin Hart decided to throw Leslie into the mix with Cat Williams, and she was not having it. Here's what she had to say in a Bossip issue statement. Real talk, both of them niggas need to keep my name out their mouth unless they're using it to eat my pussy. Real talk. None of these niggas put me on or any woman. While we're talking about Cat, while he talking about Cat, what did he do to put women on? He didn't help females. They wasn't on his tour. Fuck that nigga. At least Cat put me on his tour. Kevin could have put me on a long time ago, but he never respected me or my comedy, and I can call his card because he know I can. Both Kevin and Cat was the same to women like all these niggas in the game. Shitty. And still is. Women never have had it good. At least Cat put women on his tours and shows. How many shows back in the day didn't have a woman on them? Kevin, that motherfucker told me one time I would never make it. Now, they really should, like work on the fucking punctuation here because that was hell to read. Leslie continues in her statement that neither of them helped out her career and that it was actually Chris Rock who gave her a platform. So I'm calling cards. I ain't got to lie. I made it without either of them. Chris Rock was the one who put me on, and Neil Brennan, a white comic and writer, not them. And I still had to work my fucking ass off to make it happen. Shut the fuck up and do your fucking job, because this ain't it. Keep my name out your mouth. I don't talk about any of y'all, right? And truth be told, even while Kevin Hart was big up in Tiffany Haddish, Tiffany Haddish wasn't really like about the shit. Like, she was like on some, you know, hey man, like I appreciate it, so to speak, but like I don't have a whole hell of a lot to kind of say about this whole thing. And it's been interesting to see, like, everybody's had something to say. Like Red Grant, who essentially was like there for that particular interview that Cat Williams was at. Like, I think people just totally forgot that the reason that they was even at the radio station was to promote his comedy special. But I'm gonna tell y'all something, man. Leslie Jones, in her coming at Cat Williams and Kevin Hart, it kind of reminded me of this right here.
Man, both of y'all shut the fuck up. Both of y'all acting like some motherfucking bitches. Shit, scared to kill these punk ass niggas. Cat, give me my motherfucking joint, nigga. Fuck you, nigga.
All right, man. So, yeah, man, it is time for us to get up out of here. I appreciate everybody who kind of stuck around here. Shout out to Jackie up here in the chat room, man. Appreciate you, brother. Yeah, man, we're going to do this again next week. And we're going to do this again next week. But before we get up out of here, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with us here at the Spirit Report Podcast. Let your voices be heard. Go ahead and hit up the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. Play them on the show. Respond to them right here on the show. You can also email us here at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave those emails. Of course, we'll read those emails here. Respond to those right here on the show. You can also hit us up on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. Go ahead and follow me there. Chop it up with your boy throughout the week. Hit up the website, man. www.thespanreport.com. Go there and watch replays of the show. Vote in the polls. Leave comments, man. Donate to the show as often as you like, as much as you like. We always appreciate it here. You know what I'm saying? Go to the Span Report Podcast Network store on TeePublic, man. The links will be in the show notes. You can go ahead and hit up that link. We got two new shirt designs up in there, man. That shit is 30% off right now for a very little bit of time. Go ahead, get yourself a new Span Report Podcast shirt or a vote shirt. Go ahead. It's election season, so go ahead and get yourself a vote shirt and let your political acumen, well, nah, not political acumen, but let people know you politically activated, man. Yeah, do that. Go ahead and let them know. Vote. Buy the shirt. We appreciate it. And a hoodie. And a coffee mug. Maybe a onesie. Do that. Right? Oh, man. And, 5-star reviews on iTunes and or Stitcher Radio, man. We really do appreciate those. Leave those on up there. It's your way of putting down for the show. It doesn't cost you a motherfucking thing, man. That's 2 minutes of your time. We really do appreciate those 5-star reviews. Those 5-star reviews get read here live on the show. And, it's time for me to go. And I will talk to you guys again soon. But until next time, fam. Peace.